Sri Gaur Purnima Arivasti Tithi Dvai. Sri Navadiptam Mahatmyam. We'll recant. I'll read, I think, this chapter, and then we'll say something. Tomorrow being the Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But to continue, I advise everyone to continue reading this on your own. It's so wonderful. Chapter 12, Sri Ritudvip and Sri Radha Kunda. Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chandra, Jaya Prabhu Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita, Jaya Gadadhara, Sri Vasari Bhakta Jaya, Jaya Jagannatha Daya, Jaya Navadvipa Dhamma Bara. At dawn, the devotees arose and called out to Sri Gaur and Nitai Chand. Feeling great joy, Nityananda and the devotees then departed, leaving Champahata behind. From then on, Baninath came with Nityananda. He considered, when else will I get the chance to joyfully circumambulate Mayapur with Nitai Chand and go to the home of the Lord? Eventually, they came to Ratupur. Upon seeing the beauty of the town, Nityananda Prabhu said, we have come to Ritudvip, which is extremely enchanting. The trees bow their heads, the breeze blows gently, and the flowers bloom in all directions. The humming of the bees and the fragrant nectar of the flowers intoxicate the hearts of travelers. As he spoke, Nityananda Rai became almost mad and said, quickly, bring my horn, the calves have run off, and Kanai is asleep. Like a child, he does not come now. Where are Subal and Sridham? I, Balaram, cannot go out to tend the cows alone. With great power, Nityananda called out, Kanai, Kanai, and jumped a couple of meters. That's a special, intimate nickname of Krishna. Seeing his ecstasy, the devotees quickly submitted at his feet. Oh, Nityananda Prabhu, your brother Gaurachandra is not here now. The Lord has taken sannyas and gone to Nilachal, leaving us destitute. Hearing this, Nityananda became dismayed. He fell to the ground and wept. What sorrow! Brother Kanai, you left us and became a sannyasi and Nilachal. I cannot continue this life. I will jump into the Jamuna. Saying this, Nityananda lost consciousness. For some reason, in this file, all the pictures are here. Everyone saw the intense ecstasy of Nityananda and chanted the Lord's name. An hour and a half passed, but Nityananda did not get up. Finally, the devotees sang songs about Gauranga. Hearing the name of Gauranga, Nitai immediately arose and said, this is the place of Radhakunda. Here, Gaura Hari would perform kirtan with the devotees in the afternoon. Here, the six seasons meet and enhance the beauty of Gauranga's kirtan pastimes. Radhakunda in Braja is present here in Ritudvip, where devotees drink and relish divine love. See also the beauty of Shyamakunda, which enchants the mind of every soul in this world, and the groves of the Sakis nearby. Gaura would become immersed in Sankirtan here in the afternoon and satisfy everyone with the gift of divine love. Brother, we find no place like this in the three worlds. Know it to be a place for the devotees to serve. Souls who reside here attain the wealth of divine love and their hearts become serene. Remaining there for the day, calling the name of Sri Gauranga, all the devotees became immersed in divine love. They spent the day and night in Ritudweep and worshipped the moon-like Sri Chaitanya. Then, dancing as he went, Nityananda Prabhu arrived in Sri Vidyanagar. The beauty of the town attracts the minds of sages, and upon seeing it, the devotees were jubilant. The poor Bhaktivinod, whose true wealth is the feet of Nitayan Janava, chants the glories of Nadia. Grasping the feet of the devotees, he prays only for the wealth of devotion to Krishna. And read chapter 13. Sri Vidyanagar and Sri Janudweep. Jaya Goro Nityananda Dvaita Gadadhar Sriva Sri Navadvipa Kirtana Sagar. Coming to Vidyanagar, Nityananda Roy taught Sri Jiva the importance of the town. During the destruction of the universe, the eternal abode of Navadvipa remains undisturbed as an eight-petaled lotus. All the avatars and thousands of fortunate souls stay in one part of that lotus. In Vidyanagar, within Ritudweep, the Lord as Matsya holds all the Vedas. The Vedas, which contain all knowledge, took shelter and stayed here. They named this place Sri Vidyanagar. When Brahma desired to create the world again, he saw the full devastation and became extremely afraid. At that time, the Lord bestowed mercy upon him. He received that mercy here and then prayed to the Lord. As he opened his mouth, the extremely beautiful goddess Saraswati manifested from his tongues. Becoming empowered by Saraswati, four-headed Brahma prayed to Krishna and felt great satisfaction. When creation takes place, Maya remains on the bank of the Viroja River and envelops all directions with the three modes of material nature. The sages then reveal knowledge within that world manifested by Maya. They take shelter in this boat of Saraswati and conquer ignorance. They study the 64 branches of knowledge and teach them at various places on the earth. The residences of all the sages who study each and every type of knowledge are present here eternally. Sri Valmiki came here by the grace of Narad and learned the art of poetry. Dhanvantari came here and learned Ayurveda. Vishwamitra and others learned archery. At the request of the sages, the four Vedas manifested from the four mouths of Brahma. Kapila resided here and wrote about Sankhya, and Sri Gautam Rishi wrote texts about logic and argument. Kanada wrote the Vaisheshika, and Pantanjali wrote texts on yoga. Jaimini wrote texts about Mimamsa, and Vedavyas wrote the Puranas and other texts. Narad and four other sages wrote the Pancharatras and taught souls spiritual practices. In this garden, all the Upanishads worshipped Sri Gauranga for a long time. Invisibly, Sri Gaur came to said to them, "The conception of nirakar, formlessness, has polluted your hearts. As scriptures, you will not attain me. But when you take birth as my associates and my manifest pastimes, you will see me and loudly chant my glories." Hearing this, the Upanishads became silent and secretly waited here. The glorious age of Kali, in which Sri Gauranga has descended, is the best of all ages. Hearing that Gaurasundar would perform pastimes of scholarship, Brihaspati and his associates took birth. As Vasudev Sarvabhauma, Brihaspati endeavored greatly to please Gauranga. Knowing within his heart, "My Lord will perform pastimes of scholarship in Navadvip," and becoming detached, Brihaspati left the assembly of Indra with his associates. Joyfully, he and his associates took birth in various places. Brihaspati made a school in Vidyanagar and taught there as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, thinking, "Later I may sink into the net of knowledge and forget Gauranga." He performed a trick. Keeping his disciples in Nadia, he went elsewhere before the birth of Gaur. He thought, if I am Gore's servant, then my Lord will mercifully bring me to his side. Thinking this, Sarvabhauma went to Nilachal and propagated text on Mayavad there. Here, during his pastimes of scholarship, Gaurachandra Prabhu defeated and joked with the disciples of Sarvabhauma. Sometimes the Lord came to Vidyanagar, posed trick questions, and defeated everyone. Defeated all the teachers and students would flee. Ignorance leaves those who hear about Gauranga's extraordinary pastimes of scholarship. Hearing this with the joy of divine love, Jiva rolled on the ground at the school in Vidyanagar filled with divine love. At the holy feet of Nityananda, he submitted, I have a doubt. Please cut it away. Knowledge, Sankhya Vidya, knowledge of analysis, and Tarka Vidya, argument, are inauspicious. So how do they reside in the eternal Dham? Hearing this, Nityananda Prabhu embraced Jiva and affectionately said, Hari Hari Bol. Nothing is inauspicious in the holy abode of the Lord. Here, argument and analysis have no power of their own. Here, everything is dependent on devotion and serves devotion. As a result of their sins, the wicked think the opposite. Here, the goddess of devotion is supreme. Everyone is her servant, and everything reveals her. Navadvipa is the abode of the ninefold practice of devotion. Here, action and knowledge always serve devotion, karma and gyan. The scriptures give misconceptions to those who are averse and love for Krishna to those who are gentle. Protomaya, a servant of Gauranga, is the presiding goddess here. In every age, she stays here and serves Gauranga. Maya blinds those who are very sinful and inimical to Vaishnavas, and subjects them to various miseries. All sin and karma are annihilated here. In the form of knowledge, Protomaya destroys karma. If, however, someone offends a Vaishnava, Protomaya drives them further into the miseries of karma. Such sinners may study in Nadia, but they never attain the wealth of divine love for the feet of Krishna. They attain only ignorance of true knowledge and do not see the glory of Sri Gauranga and Nadia. Thus, knowledge is not inauspicious. Its shadow, ignorance, is inauspicious. O Jiva, you will reveal all this by the mercy of Gauranga. By his desire, you will write scriptures about it. Actually, he will write scriptures through you. Now let us go to the residence of Janu Muni. While speaking, they went to Jannagar and saw the beauty of the hermitage of Janu Muni. Nityananda Prabhu said, this charming abode is known as Janu Dweep and Bhadravan. Janu Muni performed austerities here and saw the golden form of Gaura. Once when Janu Muni sat here to perform his evening meditation, his copper vessel fell into the swiftly flowing river Ganga. The copper vessel fell into the river and floated away. Janu Muni then drank all the water of the Ganga with his palm. Maharaj Bhagirath thought, where did the Ganga go? Bewildered, he began to think over the situation. Understanding that Janu Muni had drunk all the water of the Ganga, Maharaj Bhagirath became concerned. Sober Maharaj Bhagirath worshipped the sage for some time, and eventually the Ganga broke out of the sage's body. Thereafter, she became known as Janavi. The whole world now calls her Janavi. Sometime later, Ganga's son, Bhishma Dev, met his grandfather, Janu Muni, here. Janu Muni honored Bhishma and kept Bhishma at his home for a long time. Bhishma learned profound religious principles from Janamuni and later taught the essence of them to Yudhisthira Maharaj. Residing in Navadvip, Bhishma attained the wealth of devotion and became recognized as a Vaishnava. Thus, Janamuni is supremely purifying. Fortunate souls reside here eternally. That day, Nityananda and the devotees stayed at the home of a devotee in Janudvip. The next morning, Nityananda Prabhu took the devotees and went to Modadrumadvip. Bhaktivinod, whose pride is the feet of Janava and Nitai, chants the glories of Nadia. Let's see. Read one more. Chapter 14, Sri Modadrumadvip and Sri Ramlila. Jaya Jaya Panchatvat Atmaka Gaura Hari. Jaya Jaya Navadvipa Dhamma Sarvapari. Proceeding to Mamagachchi Gram, Nityananda Prabhu said, Nityananda Rai said, "This is Modadrumadvip. Ayodhya is present here. In a previous manifestation of the universe, while he was residing in the forest, Ram came here with Lakshman and Sita, built a cottage under a massive banyan tree, and lived here joyfully for some time. Seeing the luster of Navadvip, Ram smiled slightly. His lotus eyes, his beautiful bow in hand, how enchanting was his dark grass-green form. He wore the dress of a brahmachari, and dreadlocks shone atop his head. Seeing him captivated all living beings. Seeing his smiling face, Sita Devi asked Sri Rama about the reason for his smile. Rama replied, "O Sita, listen, there is a very confidential answer. When the glorious Kali Yuga takes place, souls will see my golden form here in Nadia. I will soon take birth as Gauranga from the womb of Sachi Devi in the home of Jagannath Misra. The fortunate souls will see my childhood pastimes, and I will give them all the highest form of divine love. Later, I will take sannyas and go to Nilachal. My mother will embrace my wife and cry." Hearing this, Sita said, "Oh, lotus-eyed Lord, why will you make your mother cry? Why will you take sannyas and leave your wife? What happiness is there in making your wife unhappy? I do not understand." Sri Ram answered, "My dear, you actually understand everything. But to teach souls, you now act as if you were unaware. Loving devotion to me is relished in two ways, O Sita. Please hear my words. The joy felt during union with me is called sambhog. The joy felt during separation from me is called vipralambha. My devotees, my eternal associates, desire sambhog, and by my grace, they experience vipralambha. Devotees know that the sadness felt for my sake during vipralambha is actually the greatest joy. When sambhog occurs after vipralambha, the happiness is felt is 10 million times greater than before. Separation from me is the cause of that happiness. Accept this as truth. The four Vedas affirm it." During my pastimes as Sri Gauranga, Mother Kausalya, who is known in the Vedas as Aditi, will appear as Sachi Devi. You will serve me as Vishnu Priya. In separation from me, you will make a deity of my golden form. In separation from you, I will make a golden Sita and worship you in Ayodhya. In exchange, you will make a deity of my golden form and worship me in Nadia. O Sita, these profound topics are very confidential. They will not be revealed to the public now. Navadvip is very dear to me. Neither Ayodhya nor any other place is equal to it. O Sita, when Kali Yuga arrives, this banyan tree, Rambata, will disappear but invisibly remain. In this way, Ram, Sita, and Lakshman resided here for some time. Eventually, they went to Dandaka forest to perform their pastimes. See here the place of Rama's cottage. By the will of the Lord, Rama's friend Guhaka took birth here as the son of a Brahmin. His name became Sadananda Vipra Bhattacharya. He knew nothing other than Ram within the three worlds. On the day that our Lord took birth in Mayapur, Sadananda was present in the home of Jagannath Misra. At the time of the Lord's birth, all the gods observed the child in the home of Jagannath Misra. The Brahmin, a great devotee, recognized the gods and understood that our Lord had taken birth there. With great delight, the Brahmin returned to his home. In meditation on his worshipable Lord, he saw Gauranga Sundar. Sri Gauranga Rai was sitting on a throne, and Brahma and the other gods were waving chamras beside him. Then the Brahmin saw the dark grass-green Ramachandra and heroic Lakshman and the abode of Ananta nearby. On his left was Sita, and his devotee Hanuman sat in front of him. Seeing this, the Brahmin understood the identity of the Lord. With great joy, the Brahmin went to Mayapur and joyfully saw Gauranga to the satisfaction of his eyes. I am blessed," said the Brahmin again and again. "Ramachandra has appeared before me as Gauranga." Later, when the Sankirtan pastimes of the Lord started, Sadananda would dance and chant the name of Gaur. O Jiva, here pure devotees see Bandiravan. Hearing this and seeing the eternal abode, the devotees surrounded Nityananda and danced. Divine ecstasy manifested in the body of Sri Jiva, and he exclaimed, "O Gauranga!" With a jubilant heart, Nityananda stayed in the village in the home of Narayani that day. The perfectly pure and chaste Narayani, the mother of Vyas, personally served the devotees. The next day in the morning, the devotees walked some distance and peacefully entered Sri Vaikunthapur. To fulfill the order of Nityananjanava, this poor lowly soul chants the glories of Nadia. Hare Krishna. And there's more, but we can't finish it all. So it's interesting to note in the previous chapter the reference to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is Brihaspati descended. Brihaspati is the guru of the devatas. Right. So there, from that position, he enters Gaura Lila. And as we can see here, he can understand, has a conception of how his service is going to play out in these pastimes. And see the how the great devotees, they do not have ego about their reputation or the part they play. Like the actors, the better actors in Hollywood or movies, they don't always want to play the good guy. Sometimes they want to play the bad guy, or something in between, or someone who, in this Sarvabhauma, he takes another position. Like I told, he's preaching Mayavad. I mean, he leaves Navadvip, where he has all these disciples, and he goes to Puri. And this, and saying, why do that? This allows for the pastime of when Mahaprabhu arrives, and he converts Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And there's some intimate connection there, that Vidya Nagar, the very name indicates knowledge and, you know, like the town of divine knowledge. And Vidya Vachaspati, one of his relatives, he has a school there. Other relative is Gopinath Acharya, who we were told earlier, he will appear later as Baladev Vidyabhushan. And write the Govinda Bhasya commentary on Vedanta Sutra. But we know in this pastime, and so we now know this is a role that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is playing. But like, again, like the good actors, we're told when they get into character, they dissolve into that character. Because if we just think they're sort of playing, no, they fully absorb themselves in that role. And this is all by the power, influence, grace, mercy of Yoga Maya. So whatever their former position is, that goes far into the background, is suppressed, and they're totally absorbed in this role. So he's Vasudev Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's the court pundit to the king of Puri, Maharaj Prataparudra. So that means he's the number one pundit in Jagannath Puri. So we know after taking sannyas, Kahan Krishna Prananath Murali Badan, Kahan Karun Kahan Pan Brajendra Nandan, that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's madly searching for Krishna. He wants to go immediately to Vrindavan, but he's running and his divine madness something in the opposite direction. He's actually, we can conceive the pull of the hearts, the love in the hearts of his devotees will not allow him to go. So he's running and going to the east, the north, is in every direction, searching for Krishna. Finally, he gets the inspiration to go to Jagannath Puri and see Jagannath, who is Krishna. And on the way, they stopped in Ramuna. We heard the story of Kirachor Gopinath. But then upon getting close to Puri, maybe 2-3 hours away, Mahaprabhu became so eager that what should have taken a relatively short period of time, because of his singing, dancing, entering ecstatic states, falling on the ground, his body shivering, becoming stunned, his hair standing on end, his voice faltering, quivering, choked up. And there sometimes, and that's what we said, nipa prasunach chayvim, if you've seen the kadamba flower, they only bloom for a short time. Gopal and I saw some in Calcutta by the Teen Number Tank in Dum Dum Park. And they look like they're glowing, actually. And we got some, and these local Bengali boys, you know, we had like bunches of them. And it looks like you're carrying little illuminating balls. They have these fine filaments on them that are golden colored and radiant. So sometimes Mahaprabhu's hair standing on end is described like that, like the kadamba flower. That's one direction. At other times, it says it looks like thorns. That means very intense. This thing, the hair, it looks like his body is covered in golden thorns, what he's experiencing is so intense. So on account of this, what should have taken maybe an hour or two took something like 9 hours for him, until finally he And he decided to go ahead. He asked the devotees, either you go first and I go second, or I go and you follow behind. Wisely, they said, you go and we'll go behind. Because who knows what can happen. And he ran and ran. And then when he enters the Jagannath temple and he sees Jagannath, he sees Shyamasundar Krishna. Right. He's seeing Krishna in a threefold bending floor form, playing the flute. And that's what he wanted when he was ran away after taking sannyas, started running toward Vrindavan. Now there's Krishna. He was searching for Krishna. Now Krishna is before him. And it's so extraordinary because this is Krishna, but as a devotee, and not only a devotee, but Mahabhav Swarupini Radha Thakurani, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, enveloped in her heart, that the outward radiance turned Shyamasundar Krishna into Gauranga Sundar. So Krishna viewing, and heart and halo of Radharani, viewing Krishna after such deep feelings of separation, and he can't control his ecstatic emotions, and he faints. And as the pandas and the guards are wont to do, they deal with this at various times, we should say. Sometimes sentimental people come, what we would call imitationists. People like that, they pick them up and drag them out and throw them in a gutter. That's what they do. They're about to do that to Mahaprabhu when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya comes. And he, of course, he's the most highly respected person and the wisest of all, the most knowledgeable. And he sees, he knows what is astasatvika vikar, means 8 different types of ecstatic symptoms expressed simultaneously to infinite magnitude. When there's one symptom or two expressed to a certain degree, Rupa Goswami is the expert in that. So we call that in this way, like lit. When it's 3 or 4 and it's to a greater degree, he has another term. But he said, but when all 8 are present simultaneously to an infinite degree, that's the blazing stage of astasatvika vikar. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he recognizes that. At this point, maybe he's only read about it, that it's, he's never seen anyone exhibit this. So he's astonished and calls off the guards. And to see if he's actually alive, he takes some fine cotton, puts it before his, and sees, detects very, there's some breathing. It's almost superficially or externally a death-like state. And then the devotees come and they carry Mahaprabhu, who's in this deep state of Krishna Prem. They carry him to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And there, by that time, Gopinathacharya has arrived, and the other devotees and Nityananda, they're coming. And Gopinathacharya is observing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying, this, I believe he is a Siddha Purush, a Mahapurush. This is, a devotee of the highest order and most exalted. Which, from a Saraswati inversion, is true. But he's thinking or expressing the conception that this is a jiva who's achieved this state. And Gopinathacharya is thinking, you're Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You're supposed to be the wisest of all. No one knows the scriptures better than you. You're the teacher of everyone. And you know everything except one thing. Oh, what is that? That who is lying before you is Swayam Bhagavan. That you failed to detect. But you know everything else. And Swayam Bhagavan, there's no Leela avatar in the Kali Yuga. Now he's going to quote something. He's known as Triyuga. He's quoting slokas. And Gopinathacharya is saying, don't neglect Prahlad, 7th canto of Bhagavatam. That sloka, Channakalo, the Yuga avatar. In Kali Yuga, he will be Channa. Avatar means hidden. And we may think, oh, why hide it? It's not like that. It means he's not appearing as God. He's appearing as a devotee. What is hiding him? Radha Bhavaduti Subolita. The heart and halo of Srimati Radharani, he is within that. Jiva Goswami says, Anta Krishna Bahir Gauram Darshi Tangari Vai Bhavam. Anta Krishna, internally Krishna, Danta Krishna Bahir Gauram, externally Gaura, Gauranga. And it's mentioned in the Mahabharata, Suvarna Varna Hemango, Barangas Chandanagadi, Sanyasa Krishchama Shanto, Nitya Shanti, Nishta Shanti Parayana. Again, Suvarna Varna Hemanga, Hema Anga, it's all golden limbs and. And the Bhagavatam, Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sango Pangashtra Parshadam Yagye Sankirtana Praye Yajantihi Sumedasa. Krishna Varna can mean he's the same category as Krishna. Or Krishna Varna means always coming from his lips. Krishna, 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 Krishna. We had heard Prabhupada sing Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. That Mahaprabhu sang that when he was touring in South India. But I was listening to this tape of Babaji Maharaj once, and he was saying, Krishna, 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 Nama, Nartanam. And I was saying, what is this? Dana Ramya, Gana Ramya, Prema Dama Deva Meva Nomi Gora. I said, what is this? Yeah. Showed it to one of my friends who was a Sanskritist. He said, oh, it is a song that's composed by Srila Sridhar Maharaj called the Prema Dama Deva Stotram. And that in Yatra Tatra Krishna Nama Dana Loka Nishta Nam. Prema Dama Deva Meva Nomi Gaura Sundaram. Anyway, so I thought, oh, it's very similar to what Mahaprabhu was singing. Oh, and Guru Maharaj has condensed Chaitanya Charitamritam into these 70 or so slokas. So anyway, it's saying, Krishna, Krishna is always coming from his mouth. Krishna Varnam Trisha Akrishnam. But he is Akrishna. Also means Shyama, blackish. He's Akrishnam. What's the opposite of that? Golden. Sango Pangashtra Parshadam. Like the avatars, maybe they come and they have some weapons. And oh, well, his weapons are his associates. Advaita, Nityananda, Srivas. Those are his weapons. Yagye Sankirtana Pray. And what type of yagya? There always has to be a yagya, right? In Vedic culture. Yagye Sankirtana Pray. It's Sankirtan Yagya. That's the yagya. So we have our mantra and our yagya. Well, then who can understand this? Just as here, we hear in Navadvipa Mahatmyam, Ramachandra and so many others saying, Navadvip is the best abode. And what did we hear repeatedly this evening? Kali Yuga is the best age. And we're thinking, it is? I thought Kali Yuga was like the worst one and Satya Yuga was the best. Guru Maharaj said, not true. Because of the high qualifications of the people of Satyayuga, it's in a sense more generic, the spiritual process and God realization. But as things degrade, as Guru Maharaj said, when the disease, and we read this in the Navadvipa Mahatmyam as well, when the disease is at its worst, then you have to bring out the ultimate medicine, right? When it's not so bad, you can, you know, take a little bit of this, rest, see me in the morning. That's not Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, they're getting out like the big syringe. Like, if this doesn't work, nothing works, you know. And they're going to give, you know, the nectar injection that brings the dead back to life, or those who are worse than dead. So Guru Maharaj says, so that means don't think that the people of Kali Yuga, they've degraded so far. So something low was given to them. You know, all right, then you can chant Hare Krishna. I guess you can't do other things. Right? Like the Klesho Dikataras Chesham Avyakta Shakta Chetasam in Bhagavad Gita. The Prabhupada said that the Mayavadis will say this verse is saying, like, meditating on the impersonal Brahman is difficult for ordinary people. So they can, you know, beat on a drum and play some kartals and sing a song. Because they can't think about these deep things. So Abhavama Bhattacharya too, he's saying, oh, this sannyasi, and continuing that discussion, he's so young and beautiful, maybe he took sannyas too soon. He's in an inferior sampradaya. I could upgrade him. That would be helpful. There'd be some hope. But he said, Gopinath Acharya says to him, he goes, well, I can quote slogans, you can quote slogans, we can go back and forth. Well, what is the purpose of all of this? The point? Unless you've received some mercy, you won't understand it. Yajanti hi sumedasa, Guru Maharaj said, those of refined theistic intellect will appreciate this, who are sukritivan, kritapunya rasi, in the words of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. They will appreciate Gauranga. But to gain this appreciation, you have to receive some mercy. And so we're like, oh, so you've got the mercy and I don't? What's the evidence of that? And Gopinath Acharya said, that I can recognize who he is and you can't. Atapi de deva padam bhujadvaya prashad leshanu grihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahina, to know the greatness and the glories of Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. Prashad Alesh. Guru Maharaj had a teacher. And at the time, I think Guru Maharaj was 23 and the teacher was like in his 80s. But he had like the six ontological black belts, the Sat Darshans of India. When Guru Maharaj is so innocent and also impressed with his knowledge, but innocently said, "Oh, then why don't you use your vast knowledge, you know, to explore the holy lotus feet of Sri Gauranga?" You know. And he said, that teacher said to him, "Oh, my boy, it is not a question of knowledge. You have to have some mercy." And on one of the points made this evening, I said to Guru Maharaj once, because he's always preaching about Jnana Shunya Bhakti, knowledge-free devotion, as being the hallmark of Goloka Vrindavan, the higher devotees, the most intimate. They're not contaminated by the need to know. There was a Swiss devotee who was highly educated and studying philosophy and asking Guru Maharaj so many questions day after day after day, and Guru Maharaj patiently answering. And then one day Guru Maharaj said to him, "Are you ready to admit that knowledge is poison?" And there was a long pause, and Guru Maharaj went, "Not yet." He was there, spent his whole life in study, like university level, graduate, you know, "Are you ready to admit knowledge is poison?" So I said to Guru Maharaj, "But I accept all these things, but I can't help but observe. You know so much. Saraswati Thakur says, Sridhara Sakalam Beti, you know everything. Sridhar knows everything. Your vast knowledge of the Puranas, the Vedas, etc. Saying, so how do you harmonize this with Jnana Shunya Bhakti?" And when I said that, for a moment, Guru Maharaj was like, as if he had been caught. And then he thought, and he said, "When Gyan comes to serve devotion, it's in its rightful position." And that's what we heard this evening. When Jiva says, because he's about to, you know, he's embarking on his career, devotional career as a scholar. That's his seva. He's been told. Gurudev pointed this out. Not, even though Rupa wrote in Sanskrit, Sanatan, Raghunathan, they didn't go to school and study that, which is also interesting. So these gopi girls, Manjari, descend from the spiritual world, and in Gaura Lila they write all these incredible Sanskrit literature, and they don't bother to study. But because someone might criticize what they've written, or find fault, or discredit it, challenge its authenticity, Jiva is the rakkak, like Guru Maharaj, bhakti rakkak, the guardian, protector, as is Baladev. Jiva dyeya barakshitam sukashiva brahma samanitam. So Jiva got the order to go and become a Sanskrit scholar. When he says, "I have a doubt, please clear," it's like, how can Gyan be used, or what's it doing in Navadvip? Right? If Navadvip is everything you say it is, and I believe it is, it's bewildering. What's Gyan doing here? Or what would Karma and Gyan, what are they doing in Navadvip Dham? It's like very sweet and innocent question, but also related. And then Nityananda was saying, when there, everything is to be used in the service of the Lord. So when they're used in the service of the Lord, they're in their rightful position. And this is in line with Rupa Goswami's teaching. Prapanchikataya budhya hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshubi parityago falgum vairagyamuchite anashaktasya vishayan yutaham upayunjita nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagyamuchite. He's saying, if something could be used in the service of Krishna, but you reject that on the basis that it's mundane or potentially polluting, or he says, that's falgu vairagya, that's false renunciation. True renunciation is to use everything in the service of Krishna. And Saraswati Thakur demonstrated that in the 20th century, and his followers continue in that line. So Gopinath and Sarvabhauma having that discussion, then Sarvabhauma, he wants to teach Mahaprabhu Vedanta, and we know after so many days of every day Mahaprabhu was sitting and Sarvabhauma saying, are you following this? I know it's really deep, but give some indication, like, you know, when you're talking to someone, they nod, or you can, and he's saying, Mahaprabhu, he's just looking at him. Sarvabhauma said, so are you following what I'm saying? And Mahaprabhu said, I understand Vedanta perfectly. What are you talking about? That's what I don't understand. And he is the 24-year-old boy, and Sarvabhauma is the 80-year-old or so. What? And that's so insulting. And he decides, well, if I'll explain something, just kind of blow his mind. So he gives 9 explanations of the Atmarama sloka. Like, can you handle that? So Mahaprabhu said, well, how about this? And he gives 18 explanations, not touching upon the 9. Then Sarvabhauma, maybe seeing more effulgence, and gradually he's realizing who is before him, and it shows his Ishwar Murti, which means in this context he revealed his divinity and showed, like we're hearing, Shadbhuj Murti, two arms Ramachandra, bow and arrow, two arms Krishna, flute, Murali, and two arms Mahaprabhu. Right? And we see that even, and Ramachandra, how much he's appreciating Gauranga Mahaprabhu, telling Sita Devi the part she will play in these pastimes. Taktva sudushta jasurep shita raja lakshmim dharmista arja bachasa jadagararanyam mayam rigam dvaita yipsata ambadavad bande mahapurushate charanaravindam. It's going to be very painful that she's saying, why in these pastimes do you take sannyas and then leave the wife and then she becomes unhappy? And you hear what he says. That will be the cause of the greatest happiness. Is that an answer? That is the answer. See, it demands, only the devotional heart can accommodate these things. The materialist will see it as cruelty, or indifference, and find fault. But it's really the key point. And interestingly, we see it in Ram Lila. And I remember reading the Ramayana. Janardhan Maharaj had this 3-volume set, and I was reading it. I was in Moscow. And after all that they go through, and finally get Sita back, and you think, this is the ultimate happy ending, and everyone's going to live happily ever after. They return to Ayodhya, and you're also relieved and so happy after all of this. And then that ordinary citizen passes the remark that, you know, that Ramachandra may take his wife back after she stayed in another man's house for a year, but not me. And that comes to his ear. They're finding, people see, they can express this. And Sita is banished. And then you think, that's heartbreaking enough. Then we find out she's pregnant with twins. And when I first read this, I thought, how can he do this? What kind of a story is this? And had to put the book down and think about it for a long time. Could not digest it. Until I heard Guru Maharaj say that Ramachandra sacrificed his own happiness for the citizens. And Sita, she's sacrificing her own personal happiness. So the two of them, this is plunging their hearts into the depths of separation. And as is told here, having achieved that position, that's the deepest region of heart, right? It yields the most superior quality and quantity of prema. So that when union is then achieved, it's 10 million times greater than sambhog is the word used. When it's predicated by separation. As Guru Maharaj said, hunger. Like they have that saying, hunger is the best spice. When you're hungry, you're relishing every morsel. No appetite, but when you're really hungry, then you're appreciating, your appreciation is heightened so many times. They're giving that example saying, so amplify that 10 million times. And you understand. So then, if you think, then Krishna or Rama put the devotee in that position to enable that sort of relish, is that a merciful thing to do or a cruel thing to do? And interestingly, he said, and we know this from before, that in the absence of Sita, that he still had to perform certain sacrifices, and you need your wife by your side to do that. As a Grihastha king, you need your wife by your side to do this. So her not being there, he commissioned Yajna Sitas. So they made these golden murtis of Sita, who would sit right, and they would have. And that's when Sita heard this, she said, at least I haven't been banished from his heart. It made her very happy to hear that. So here is very interesting. They're golden, the Yajna Sitas. And he's saying, so as I did that in Ramlila, in these pastimes, you, as Vishnu Priya, you will make a golden murti of me. Right? Mahaprabhu Bari, Vishnu Priya Bari, that deity. When it came to understanding how should a Mahaprabhu deity look? I mean, the face, we're not saying there can only be one hand mudra, but the face, every, you know, and there was some discussion at the mat, and then Guru Maharaj said, you will go to Vishnu Priya body, Mahaprabhu body, their house, and then you'll know. So he had, I'd never been there at the time, and one of the devotees from the mat took me there, and there's that deity of Mahaprabhu who's so beautiful. How so that we're told when Vishnu Priya commissioned the Murti, they brought a Murti before her, she dismissed. They worked again, dismissed, again, dismissed. Then they brought the Murti finally, and she drew her veil because she saw her husband. That's how much the deity looked like Gauranga Mahaprabhu. She said, as I had Yajnasita by my side, you'll have my Murti by your side in these pastimes. But see, it's a peculiar thing. You can't say, so, but there's going to be intense separation. It's heartbreaking for the devotees. That's true. So no one will want that. And I was thinking about this once, and I thought, well, it's in Jagannath Puri where Mahaprabhu plunges the depths of Radha Bhav on the Banhi Garbha. In the Premadama Stotram, which Gurudev translated as the fire bed of separation. Very intense talk given by Srila Gurudev, beyond the talk, as divine revelation. But then I thought, if that's where the depths of Radha Bhav are plunged, and then how should we understand Puri in relation to Navadvip? And Guru Maharaj said to me, stalwart followers of Mahaprabhu prefer Navadvip. It's a peculiar thing. So to conclude, that's reference to Vidyanagar, Vidyavachaspati. When Mahaprabhu did come back, after 5-6 years, you can return pass through the town. The throng is there, right? Why? Because, as Rupa Goswami says in the Chaitanya Sikam, Sado Pasha Srimandrita Manujakai Pranayitam Brahadbir Girvani Parameshti Prabhritibi Shabhaktevya Sudham Nijabhajana Mudram Upadisham Satchetanna Kame Punar Vidashorya Shatipadam. Gods descended in human form, Brahma, Shiva, all the gods and goddesses, appearing like Brahmins and just people in disguise, and they want to have a glimpse of the inconceivable, unparalleled beauty of Sri Gauranga. Raso dama kamar budama dur damo jula tanur jati nam utankshas tarani kar vidyoti basana hiranya nam lakshmi bhavana abhivakan angika rucha sat chetana kime punar apidashor yasyati vadam. And Mother Sachi comes, Vishnu Priya's on the side, and she's in looking emaciated and sorry, plain. And Mahaprabhu can see from his peripheral vision, he understands the separation that she's feeling. They're told, Tyaktva Sudushita Sharepshita Raja Lakshmi, and he had to renounce the imperial throne of the Krishna Prem, Gaur Prem in the heart of Vishnu Priya Devi. He is wearing his padukas, his wooden shoes, and steps out of them and then continues on with the throng. As Guru Maharaj said, Vishnupriya said to Mother Sachi, she didn't say, "There's my husband." She said, "There's your son." But when the crowd moved away, then Vishnupriya came forward and took those padukas and took them home as worshipable, so that later when that deity was commissioned, and still in that temple is there in Navadvip, see, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu Bari, Vishnupriya Bari, and the padukas are there, still worshipped. So, so in the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because we take it, Navadvip is Gupta Vrindavan. So when Mahaprabhu continued, he went to Vidyanagar and he was at the house of Vidyavachaspati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's relative. And in that house, the people, they're mad. They crossed the river, were told, by any means possible, when there were no boats, pots, anything available to float across the river. They just went en masse, and like the waters, there were so many people, no one could drown. And that's how they crossed the river. And when they got there, they wanted to see him, and they're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And Vidyavachaspati is saying, like, I think you need to, see your devotees. Because Mahaprabhu is trying to avoid. It's funny, Krishna, as a devotee, is shy. And he comes out on the veranda, on the balcony. And people, they've climbed trees, and mystically, even a twig on a tree can hold a human body. And they're all singing and chanting, Hare Krishna, and he's, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his song, he takes himself as one of the inhabitants of Vidyanagar, and he's seeing Gauranga Mahaprabhu on that balcony. And he says from his heart, when will Gauranga give up the robes of renunciation and join us again in Srivasangam? My heart is hankering for that time. And he said, that's the prayer of Radharani and the Braja Gopis. Like, when will Mathura Krishna, when will he come back to Vrindavan and we'll sing and dance our Rasalila on the banks of the Jamuna on the moonlit night? He's saying, when will he give up that she's saying to Dwaraka Krishna, that they, Rajvesh, Maharajvesh, Rajvesh. When will Krishna give up the dress of a king? When will he give up the dress of the Maharaj and come and join us again in Srivasangam? So Guru Maharaj said, on the basis of that, stalwart followers of Mahaprabhu prefer Navadvip. Hare Krishna.